by the congregation. Questions that were asked, what laws governing tithing in the Old Testament? Which of those laws, if any, were carried over to the New Testament? What about principles or attitudes? Do they carry over? We will deal with that. When we speak of a tithe, it comes from a Hebrew word that means tenth, and also from a Greek word that means tenth. First of all, I want to study the laws concerning the tithe in the Old Testament. I believe it's very important that we realize and understand what the tithe was. We're going to turn to Leviticus, the 27th chapter, and begin there with verse 30. That's the book of Leviticus, the 27th chapter, and verse 30. We find in this verse that all produce was to be tithed. And all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. In Deuteronomy 14:22, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. So we're taught in the scripture here, and these people, they were to tithe of the fruit of the land and so forth here. Now, a tithe of all that was brought forth from the land, both of the seed of the land and what was yielded. Now, these people, if they desired, they could redeem this tithe by adding a fifth. In verse 31 of verse 27, and if a man will at all redeem all of the tithes, he shall add thereto a fifth part thereof. So those that brought the tithe here, they could redeem this now, but it would be that of 20%. In other words, they could yield money, and they would increase the value by 20%. Now in verse 32 and 33, there was also a tithe of the herd and the flock. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth thereof shall be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. Now all who passed under the rod of the herdsman, of the tenth animal, was to be holy to the Lord. In other words, be given to the Lord whether good or bad. No discrimination was to be made in the case between good and bad, and no exchange was to be made. In other words, here, if they here changed this, then it could not, again, in other words, it had to be the same. If, however, this did take place, the tenth animal was to be holy, as well as one for which it exchanged, and could not be redeemed. So after the exchange, then, it would be holy and could not be changed. Now find again in the book of Numbers, the 18th chapter and verse 21. Now this tithe was to be received by the Levite. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now find here that the Levites, the purpose of the tithe was that these Levites might receive the tithe. Now the Levites were to carry out all these things. They were carry out the different laws concerning what children of Israel do. They were to be involved in that. And being involved in that, they did not have time if they had an inheritance. So they was not given inheritance because they would not have time for it. I find that principle taught in the New Testament by those that preach the gospel and so forth. But that was reason now that was given unto them. Now we find in verse 24, but the tithes of the children of Israel, which the offerings of the heave offering of the Lord, I have given the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have sent them among the children of Israel. They shall have no inheritance. So they didn't have any inheritance, and they had to live. They had to have something to live by. So they did this. Now the tithe consisted of the increase of land, all crops, herds, and flocks, fruit and animals itself, was to be brought and offered. So in the scriptures now, all these things, they were to be brought, and they were to be offered. Now, something else about this tithe of the Levite we want to notice here, and it's very important. Now, the Levites were to give a tithe of the tithes they received. Now these Levites would receive this tithe, and then they would command, they would give a tithe of that. In Numbers 18 chapter, verses 26 through 29. Thus speaking the Levites, saying to them, when you take the children of Israel, the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then you shall offer up an heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe. And this your heave offering shall be reckoned to you as though it were the corn of the threshing floor, and as the fullness of the winepress. Thus ye also shall offer an heave offering of the Lord of all your tithes which you receive the children of Israel. And you shall give thereof the Lord's heave offering to Aaron the priest. Out of all your gifts ye shall offer every heave offering of the Lord, of all the best thereof, even the hallowed part thereof of out of it. Now notice, they would receive this tithe now. The other tribes would give them, and then they were out of this to give a tenth. And notice here now, they were to give the hallowed part of it, or they were to give the best part of it. Now they were required that they might not give that. It might be, so to speak, a bad or castaway, but to give that of which was best. These Levites now, they were commanded that they might do this. So we have this tithe now that's set forth for them. Now we have another tithe here that's found in Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter, and verses 28 and 29. Now this is a tithe that was at the end of 3 years. Now at the end of 3 years, there was another tithe given here. And at the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe that increased the same year, and shall lay it up within thy gates. And the Levite, because he had no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, which within thy gates shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless them in all the work of thine hand which thou doest. Now notice here that this tithe was to be offered every 3 years and was to be kept within the gates. Notice that. This tithe brought every 3 years was to be kept here within the gates and not used for the feeding, or was used rather, for the feeding of Levites, strangers, fatherless, and widows within thy gate. So even back at that time, God provided now that the strangers, the Levites, the fatherless, widows, so forth, that they should be taken care of. So these people, they offered tithes regularly, and also every third year, this tithe was there that they might offer it also. Now let's notice about the transporting of this tithe. In Deuteronomy 14th chapter, and verses 24 and 26. Now notice the law here that's given here. And if the way be too long for them. Now notice now, if the way be too long for them, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far for thee, which the Lord thy God should choose to set his name there, when the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt turn in money, and bind up money in thine hand, and shall go in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, and shall bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen, for sheep, for wine, for strong drink, or for whatsoever thy soul desire, and thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household. Now notice what he points out here. He points out these verses, if it was too difficult to carry this. In other words, if it was too far for them to carry it, it could be converted into money and then reconverted to produce at the place of the offering. In other words, he might have his tithe off here. He didn't have any way of getting it over there. He could here sell this, and then he could take the money, exchange the money, and take that money. And at that time, he could here buy those things that was necessary for this. Notice further now, it says now that it was brought to a place designated the Lord, that is a place where his name dwelt. It was not a place of their own choosing. I want to emphasize that at the very beginning. It'll be an important latter part of the lesson when we talk about the contribution and so forth. And that is the fact that the Lord designated the place that this tithe was to be. Now they couldn't go over here and just give it anywhere. They couldn't just leave it anywhere. There was specific instruction, and there was a place where it was to be. Now we find also that this tithe was to be eaten before the Lord. In Deuteronomy 14, 20 through 23, and thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place where he shall choose to place his name there. And the tithe of thy corn, thine all, first of thy herds and thy flocks, thou mayest learn to fear the Lord of thy God always. Now, it's important to know that the Lord has designated the place the tithe is to be eaten. Now, he designated that place, and noticing all this now, he's designated the place where it was to be taken, the place where it's to be eaten, and also how much they should give. Now, tithe being a tenth, they were at least to give that. But let's notice on further now. We find that God's people, that they come along, and what did they do about this? What happened then? Turn to Malachi, the third chapter, and verses 7 through 10. Now, these people here had gone from God's commandment. They had varied from God's dispensation, his ordinance, so forth. The scripture says, even the days of your father, you're gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them. Now, I said, you've gone away from my ordinance. You've drifted away. You've strayed away. Now he says, return to me, and I'll return to you. And that's true. We understand that. If I'll return to him, he'll return to me, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Notice now, they ask the question, where can we return? Will a man rob God? Notice the answer, ye have robbed me. Now, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? Now notice, he said, you've robbed me. They said, wherein have we robbed thee? Notice the answer. In tithes and offerings. In tithes and offering, you have robbed me. Now, ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour out you a blessing, that shall not be room enough for you to receive. Now he told him, said, you put this tithe, you bring it, put it in the storehouse, that it may be there, that the stranger, the widows, the fathers, so forth, that they might be taken care of. Now this tithe, they did not tithe, and they proved that they had turned from the source of blessing. Now when they didn't tithe, they had turned from the source of their blessing. Keep that in mind. We'll talk about that later, too, when we talk about the contribution. He said, you have robbed me. You have taken that which was mine, that which you were supposed to give. Now, notice this carefully right here. The giving of the tithe was an outward sign of an inner commitment. When they gave the tithe, that was an outward sign of an inner commitment. Job said in Job 1:21, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now what Job says is that a man came to this world naked, and he leave this world that way. I want to tell you something. When I was born, October 24th, 1922, 7 years ago, so we're going to have to figure it out, I brought nothing in this world. I don't know when I'll die, but I'll tell you one thing. When I die, I won't take one thing with me. It'll all be left here. Job said, I brought nothing in this world. I'll take nothing back. Now, what are we here for? We're here to prepare to meet God. What would be better than giving everything we have to the Lord when we leave this world? Yes, we're interested in our children. We're interested in our grandchildren. We're interested in everybody else, but what about the Lord? He gave it all to us. He blessed us with it. And oftentimes we rob God. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. God understands man's greedy. Get this. God understands man's greedy, selfish nature and has an identifiable sign of our love and sincerity. He knows the makeup of man. Man is greedy, isn't that right? Isn't this a greedy country? Don't everybody want more? Now don't misunderstand, I don't think it's wrong for a person to have more and make more, but I think it's wrong to be greedy about it and deny others and deny the Lord while we make that. Now, what was the purpose of tithe? Let's notice now. Due to the requirements of the worship service, notice that, due to the requirements of worship service under the law, it was necessary to support those who would be involved in it. They would have no time for secular work. Now, God wants his work carried out. And I'll tell you something right now while it's on my mind. We need more people today. preachers and elders that are qualified, that could be those, could be supportive of preaching. We need a lot more than what we have. Are we robbing God? People all around us lost. What do we do? Now he says that this support, they would put their full time to it. And I want to tell you something while I'm thinking about it. People often say, oh, I'd like to be a preacher. Oh, that's easy. And I've told many of them, why don't you jump on the gravy train if it's a gravy train? Why don't you jump on it and go so forth? But you just stop and think now how many preachers we've had to leave the field because they couldn't be properly supported. And how many have just barely skimped by and they've done everything else. And we just sit by there and had it all to ourselves and everything. And we didn't do one thing correct. We probably got preachers right here, right now, that don't even come up to making what most of us, the working brethren in here make. Now, I'll just say that off the cuff, and that's generally true, isn't it? So God says these people, and I'll tell you something, a preacher does a lot more than you think about. Oh, some people told me, I've gone to a place and preached, maybe give a pretty good amount of money. Said, boy, I'd like to make that money for talking 45 minutes. I want to tell you something, brother, that's the easy part. And this is the easiest part. Part of the 45 minutes I've got when Dwayne back there called me and asked me if I'd talk on tile. I said, well, I don't know. I don't know whether I can get up last night. He said, I'm not worried. I'll tell you what, I spent a lot of time on this. It may not seem like it when I get through, but I sure did. It either took me a long time to grasp it or something, but I sure spent a lot of time on it. Well, I want you to think about that. And I'll tell you what, used to, I'd be around and I'd say, well, am I doing enough? Am I spending enough time? Well, I got to think about that. And one day I just got to analyze it. And I figured out I was working about 14, 16 hours a day. Preacher said to me, brother said to me, we're hunting a preacher. We want that preacher to come, we want him to work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. I said, we want him up, working 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, out working. I said, well, if I can find you one to do that, and he works a year, and he hasn't baptized anybody, will you be satisfied? Well, yeah, yeah. I said, okay, if we find one, he makes the most of his time. He actually works about 2 or 3 hours a day. And at the end of the year, he's about baptized 25 people and strengthened the church. We'd be satisfied. When I worked right here at 21st Street, 1965, about 68, I had fellas I was studying with. And I'll guarantee you, I spent most of the day preparing myself, and I looked up things, and when I got there, I wanted to be just right at my best so I could baptize those people. Somebody said, oh, I went to his house at 12 o'clock, saw his car out in the yard. Well, the operator's garage door seems fine now because I keep the garage all the time, but not for that reason. But what I'm saying is, that don't say. And I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something. You can't judge what a preacher does by what a man on a regular job does. It just don't work out that way. Because he's got to do a lot of meditating, got to do a lot of thinking, a lot of phone calls and all that he never thinks of. Well, so much for that. Since the whole tribe of Levi was devoted to this public service, God decreed that the other tribe would give a tenth for them since they received no inheritance. Now, God decreed that. Number three. They performed a variety of religious duties, along with being teachers and intercessors of the people. Now, they performed a lot of religious duties, and also they were intercessors here and teachers for the people. Now, notice this. We can be assured this is just and right as it was ordained of God. We've got to know it's right. Why? It was ordained of God. It is reasonable that we should return a portion of what God has given us to his name. Now, let's notice about this tithe. First of all, under the Old Testament, they gave 10%. Now get this. They did this because they were commanded to. It was a command here. They were to give this 10th. It was commanded them that they could give a 10th. And this they did. Now, I will also mention this. I didn't try to figure it up, but one said this, back to, that they had figured up this tenth of the herds and everything, this tenth of 3 years and so forth, and actually, those people given somewhere around 23%.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Now, I'll tell you something. We've got some time. We've got some talent that we've got to give as well as our work. How many of us give a tenth of our time to the Lord's service of the Lord? 168 hours a week. I go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Yeah, and if they hold a little too long, your word depth, then you can always wait to get out. But if you add all that up, let me see, hour and a half Sunday morning, 2 hours, 3.5 hours, let's make it 6 hours. Let's make it 8 hours. You go to church. What about the 162 other hours? Looks pretty small, doesn't it? That's not even a tenth. It's not even a tenth of our time. What about our talents? Do we give them to the Lord? Now, having found here that they didn't hear because it was a command. Now here's what I want to do. Before this was given, this is not the first time in the Bible that we have any record of a tithe. We find that Abraham, or Abram, back over here, Abram, before this here would come into effect, that to Melchizedek, Abraham gave a tenth. Now his nephew Lot had been captured. He went down there to bring him back. He did. When he came back, he received a blessing from Melchizedek. In return, Abraham gave a tenth to him. Gave a tenth. The king of Sodom, this man would like to hear, had Abraham give Abraham something. Abraham wouldn't take it. Said, the reason why I'm going to take it, said, my God won't get credit for it, in other words. Said, the king of Sodom get credit for it, see. And said, I won't do it. So Abraham, here it is. In Genesis 14, I want to turn, I'll read verses 17 through 20 of Genesis 14. Notice. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his term for the slaughter of Chiloam. And the kings that were with him at the Valley of Sheba, which is King's Dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which delivered thine enemies in thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. Notice his answer. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand to the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latcheth, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldst say, I have made Abram rich. What did he say? I won't take nothing from him. Now, Abram was not commanded, and there was no law for him, as far as I know, to give a tenth. He did this voluntarily. Voluntarily, he gave this tenth unto the Lord. Now, through his gratitude to God, through his thankfulness to God, through his knowing God, his love for God, for his desire to be a child of God, so to speak, and one of God, he did that. He was not commanded to do it. He done it voluntarily, but yet he gave a tenth. Now, what there that teaches us now, there's no indication as Abram's reason for this act other than gratitude. That's the only thing we can find. There's no indication of any other reason. We find no requirement, no command, just thankfulness. And that he did. Now, on his return, rescue of Lot from four enemy kings, Abraham came in contact with priest Melchizedek and voluntarily gave him a tithe, the tenth of everything he had, of the property belonging to the king of Sodom, which Abram had taken from the enemies, Genesis 14, 21, 24. He would not keep the smallest part from a thread, even to a shoe latchet, because he would not have anything in common with Sodom. However, He accepted it from a Salem's priest king, Melchizedek, not only bread and wine for he and his men, but a priestly blessing also. Now he was a man of God. In return, he gave him a tenth of all the possession, and thus acknowledges the priest as being of being the living God. In Abraham's subordination, Melchizedek showed a royal priesthood, which is higher than the priesthood of Abraham's descendants, the sons of Levi. Now this shows one that's higher than this one. The fact that he gave here unto Melchizedek, a man of God, a priest of God, it shows that it was higher than this one right here. Now, these tithes gave him as a tribute to God of heaven, who gives all spiritual and temporal favors and demands a submissive and loving obedience of all these subjects. Afterwards, the tithes were given to the Levites for the maintenance of themselves and their families, and they had no inheritance in Israel. Now notice, the incidental way in which this fact is stated seems to indicate an established custom that existed before the law of Moses. It seems to have existed before the law of Moses. The casual way in which it's mentioned, the incidental way, and so forth. Now we might bring up one here to carry this further. Jacob vowed a vow when he was running from Esau, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall Lord be my God, and this stone which I've set for a pillar shall be God's house, and all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee a tenth unto thee. He vowed that. Didn't have to. Done it voluntarily. Tithes were given in the during the Mosaic dispensation by the other tribes for the maintenance of the tribe of Levi. On the other hand, Abraham gave because of his thankfulness and devotion to God. The tenth he gave was voluntary. His dedication and love were so great, he could not do otherwise. Now, since Abraham, our father, gave a tenth, and we're the children of promise, would we be of mind to give a tenth or more? If we have the love of God and his cause, Abraham did, would we not do it because it's not a command, but would we do it because we love God and his cause here on earth? Now, Abraham, physical descendant. We today, we're the children of Abraham, the scriptures teach us, and we are spiritual children of Abraham. Now, was the tithe carried over? Do we have it today? Let's notice another thing too here, and then we'll go into that. You know, some say today they can't afford to give a tenth or more. Oh, you can't? You can't? I can't give a tenth. I've had a lot of people tell me that. I can't give more. Now, let's examine this attitude. Number one, a family that finds itself unable to make a commitment of a tenth of its resource to God should realistically examine its spending and living habits. You know what I could do? Right now, I could put myself in a position where I could give a tenth. I live in a house over here on North McKinley. And that house is approaching about 30 years. It's unrealistic what my payment is. You don't know? How many years? $141 a month, includes tax and insurance. But I'll tell you what I can do. I can go out here, and I can desire something bigger, and I can desire more and everything, and I can get me one payment about $800, and I'll guarantee you I'll have to cut my contribution. Well, I'll guarantee you one thing, I'm not going to do it. You know what we do? We can do anything we want to do. Yes, several years ago down at Waco, Brother Willis Bays was down there out there at a store. One of the nieces come back, and that was in the early days of television, you know, and You just didn't, wasn't able to just go get a television like you do now and everything. And she come in there and said, we figured out a way here now, and we're figuring it all out here, and we've got all of our expenses here and everything, and I believe we got a way here, we can buy that television. They figured out a way to do it. Oh, we want a car. I've got one sitting out there. Maybe it's sitting out here. I'll go with old one day, but the new one's sitting out here. I've got over 80,000 miles on it. And I'll tell you one thing. If I decide I want a new one, I can figure out ways to do it. Yes, sir. But, you know, when it comes to giving the Lord, we can't do it. We just don't have it. I'll tell you what, if you'll quit putting yourself so much in debt and think you've got to have everything in the world, you've got to keep up with Joneses, buy things you don't need to impress people you don't like, well, I'll tell you what, you won't have to give either. Amen. You won't have it either. And that's exactly what's wrong today. Oh, we can find every way in the world to buy anything we want to, can't we? We can take a trip. Brother asked me at noon for Brent old Bradson lately, and I told him, well, they've gone up so much over there that I don't been. But I'll tell you one thing. If I ever make up my mind won't go, I'll find the way to go. But if the church wants to do something, well, I'll find the money to give them to do it. Yes, sir. Where's our love? Where's our thanking? Where's our gratitude? Brought nothing to this world. We'll care nothing now. Let me ask you. Perhaps it will require a critical examination of our spiritual values as well. Now get this. Does the spiritual or the secular have the upper hand in our lives? Which got the upper in your lives, the secular or the spiritual? Which has? If more funds were needed for family conveniences, the average family would in some way find the money to buy what they wanted. Two brothers told me, I didn't ask them, they just pretty well told me. They had given pretty good at the church. Bought a new car and said, we'll have to take our contribution and make the car payment with it. They wouldn't do it now. I think we've taught them better now. Wasn't that sad, folks? Wasn't that sad? It's sad day people do that. They take what's the Lord's and they want it for self. Now, follow me closely. We should not give just to meet some requirement. If we do, this fail or fall short of free, we receive free gift. We remember our giving that God has so loved that he gave. Now notice this. We should give not by command. We should give because of our love to God. I want to tell you something, folks. Yes, I've got insurance. On me and my wife. But something happened. And insurance not paying. They don't pay at all. No mistakes. You know what I'm talking about. If you've been in the hospital or had a doctor so forth, they don't pay at all. But I'll tell you one thing. If it comes down to their life, I'll spend every penny I've got and I won't regret a penny of it. If that'll save their lives. What about this lost sinner out here that's lost in sin? He's dead in sin. Will we spend the same amount of money to rescue his soul so it won't burn forever in the devil's hell? I'm afraid we won't. Now, here's what it's going to take. Let's get to the contribution now. With that established, let's give. Do I have to give a tenth today? Okay, here's what the Scripture says. The Scripture says on the first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 16, 1-2. The Scripture says, give cheerfully, give as you prosper, as you purposed in your heart. Now let me say something right here. Are you listening? For years, I have never been satisfied with this old idea that we don't have or not required to give a certain amount. I've never been satisfied with that. We've taught people over the years, give as you purpose. Don't tell us how much you've got to give. Don't tell. No guideline how to give. Just you prosper your purpose. Do it cheerfully. Hear what you want to give. I've never been satisfied with that. And I'm a lot more dissatisfied with it now since I've studied this. I'm a lot more dissatisfied with it since I've studied this. And I want to tell you something. Here's what it boils down to. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8 chapter verses 2 and 5, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded, unrich their liberality. For their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, that they were within themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we receive the gifts and take upon us the fellowship of ministry to the saints. Now get it. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves, Lord, and us by the will of God. You follow me closely. I want to tell you this, and I tell you from deep my depth of my heart, when we want to do what God wants us to do, when we love the church as we should love it, when we love our brothers and sisters as we should love it, when we love the preach of the gospel as we should love it, and when we give ourselves that we're in the church, we'll take part in the church, we'll work the church, there won't be no requirement. Nobody will have to tell us what to give, because we love it so much, we'll give a tenth or more. We'll give a lot more. Folks, it's sad today, but it's been my experience that in most congregations, a few people give the majority of the contribution. Some just don't hardly give nothing. Now, brethren, preaching Brown, I'll tell you something. We're going to be held accountable in the day of judgment for not teaching on some of these things. And I'll tell you what. If in all of our churches, if they'd give a tenth or more all these years, we wouldn't be struggling. In Annapolis, just before this, just casually mentioned about a building there. What's the problem? We don't have the money. We need things overseas. We need things here. Don't have the money. I'll tell you what, when we get people devoted to the Lord and they love the Lord in such a way that they'll be willing to give themselves and give everything else to it, we won't even have to preach on contribution. Now, we don't have a commandment over here to give a tenth or to tithe. But I'll tell you what, I don't believe that you and I can just pass this aside, and just give what we want to and think we're pleasing God. He knows what our motive is. He knows what our motive is. With a lady told me one time, I just felt like crying. She had four children, husband left her and everything. She said, I've sat down at this table many times, pushed a chair back with just a few bites in my mouth, so those children have food to eat. She's dedicated those children. Would we do that for the Lord? Would we? Do we? Letters go out all the time. I get them. We need help. Need help! Brethren, somebody's not doing what they're supposed to do. Now, there may be people here that give a tenth or more. But I'm going to tell you something. I give more, and we have several years, and I didn't do it so God would bless me. I didn't do it expecting more from God. And I'll tell you, when we started doing it, we was poor as Job's turkey, as the old saying goes. But I've never regretted it. He's promised me he'll never let me go hungry. He'll never leave me or forsake me. And I don't carry a gun around to protect me. I don't do anything like that. There's carjacking and everything else. I'm going to do his will and pray to him. And I'd rather him be watching over me and the whole Oklahoma City Police Department. Y'all talking about your faith a while ago. There's mine. Yes, sir. Somebody said, what'd you just do if somebody break your house and do what Paul said? I'd wait for the Lord to give it away of escape. Become that front door, I'm going out that back. Become both of them, I'm going out that side door. I've got faith it's not going to happen. But it does happen. I've got faith it's going to make a way of escape. I'll tell you what, you give the Lord. Now, one thing that this is not to be used for is for favors and, so everybody respects. Brethren, how many congregations the brother usually gives the most and everything that people kind of play up to him? Preachers, when you go in there, do you stay with the poor, humble people or you kind of go over to his house? I shouldn't ask that, should I? Well, I'll tell you, folks. Sorry to say I've seen it. I've had people tell me, preachers come over and stay in their home, and they come to Sulphur or Lebanon, and that preacher hardly knew them. I just wanted to cry. Some of the best people on this earth, folks, are those type of people. They're God's chosen race. Do we really love his cause? I don't think that this sermon is going to just make anybody just up and introduce a contribution. But I'll tell you what, when they have the love in their heart that they should have, their contribution will be far more than a tenth. It'll be more than a tenth when they love God as should. Someone says, well, what if I don't? Let me give you some illustration. I wrote out briefly this morning. The Lord wants me to commune. He wants me to break the bread unleavened and eat it myself. He wants me to drink of that cup and remember him. But I'll tell you what, I can be wrong in it. And notice this. If I do it only because it's a commandment, and I don't do it because I want to, it's not acceptable. We sang a song a while ago. God wants me to sing because I want to sing. I want to worship him. When I'm singing that song, how many of you followed the words and applied it spiritually? Sing with the spirit and understand. Now, if you're going to give a tenth, not because you want to, because you're afraid not to, don't do it. But if you're so concerned and so convicted and love the church so much that you want to give a tenth, do it. That's the reason I said what it is. I'll tell you what, when we get people convicted on this, they'll be ready to serve the Lord. You mean to tell me that all this back here, where we have evidently some circumstances right on down to the death of Christ, and now we're in that last dispensation, we're blessed beyond measure, we have all that and so forth, and then we can do less? It's voluntary. You know why? He didn't want to make us do it. Whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. Whosoever will. Brethren, today, my own conviction is, I believe that my gratitude, my thankfulness, my love for God and so forth, I am compelled through that love because I love him. I want to give more. Every time I've ever gotten a raise, the first thing popped in my mind, I increase my contribution. Not that I can buy this or I can buy that. I can increase my contribution. Every time I've ever gotten a raise. I go somewhere now and preach to give me anything. First thing I do, what can I give the church out of this? What can I give the church out of this? Now, follow me closely. Those who love the Lord and his cause, as they should, will have no trouble freely giving freely to the Lord. For those who love material things more than they love the Lord will always find some excuse for not giving as they should. They'll find an excuse. No arrangement will convince them because they will not listen. We need to learn to sacrifice their own personal interests in behalf of others. This will only happen when their hearts have turned to the Lord and they love him, his cause, and the souls of men. Once they realize more blessed to give than receive, they will seek opportunity to give instead of waiting to be convinced of its right. Now, I want to break something up right quick. I'm going to use clip. I'm in hard circumstances. I'm broke. I don't have house payments, car payments. Don't have no food. Cliff comes and says, Edwin, tell you what I'll do. I'm going to put you in business out here. I'm going to furnish the place for the business. I'm going to furnish the goods. I'm going to furnish everything. And all you have to do is give back to me a portion of what you made. Just give some back to me. Would I accept that? Yeah, probably would. Well, I work. I make $1,000 this week. And I come and say, Cliff, I made $1,000. I'm going to give you a dollar. I'm going to give you a dollar. Well, Edwin, I furnished everything. I know, Cliff, but I tell you what, I've had so much expense this week and tire blowout and wife had to have a new dress and blah, 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 and I just don't have it. I'll try to increase it when I can. Now I'll show you where this happened in the Bible. In Genesis, the the 47th chapter, verses 23 through 25. A great famine had come in the land of Egypt, and Joseph gathered up all the money and brought it unto Pharaoh. When the money failed, Joseph told them to bring their cattle. The Egyptians then sold their land to Pharaoh for food. Now notice what Joseph said in verses 23 and 25. Now get it. Here it is. Then Joseph said to the people, behold, I bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. I bought you and your land. And lo, here is seed for you. And you shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass and increase, get it now, that ye shall give the fifth part unto Pharaoh. Give what? The fifth part. If I figure correctly, 20% you'll give Pharaoh. You know what those people said? Here's what it said. And four parts shall be your own. For seed of the field, for your food, for them of your household, for food for your little ones. And they said, thou hast saved our lives. Thou hast saved our lives. Now we talk about, oh, a tenth is too much. God gave you everything. Is it too much? It's certainly not. They gave 20% because all had been furnished. Now here's the final thought. Luke 12:34. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where's your treasure? Then secular or spiritual? I did, and the priest against didn't do any good because I went back through and added all up on her light number cigarettes. Now to your question. Anything that's essential to spreading the gospel, we can do it. And I've heard friends say, I can sit out on a log under a tree and worship God. I can too. But I'll tell you what. A lot of you weak people, a lot of you weak members, and your sinners, they're not going to come sit on one and hear you preach. And we're not going to sit out there in wintertime, ice all over the ground, and everything good. So I believe that that's part of carrying out our command. Now I think we ought to be modest in it and moderate in it. But I believe that we have to have those things. Now in this day and time, we work in air-conditioned buildings. We have air-conditioned at home. We have air-conditioned cars. And go to church, and I'll have air-conditioned. It's a part of that. I don't think we ought to go to the extreme, but moderate in it. They had the homes to worship in. I'm sure they had all these things and places to worship. I think they had all these. Now, the point is, in those things, I couldn't just draw a line and say it's got to be this way or that. But I can lay down a principle that we're to be modest. I think when we build a church building, what I'd say, well, we're going to build a building second to none. We're going to build the best one. I think we ought to build what we're able to build and what we can build. Because that's a minor part. But I tell you what, we're not going to reach the world. We're not going to reach our people. We don't have a comfortable place to meet. And that other is flowers with them. Well, now I'm going to tell you something. Whether it be right or wrong, I'll tell you one thing I believe wrong. Brethren, it takes a position that you cannot send flowers and pay for it out of the church treasury. But they say you ought to take up money and send it in the church's name. Brother, if it's wrong for the church to send those flowers, it's wrong to send it in the church's name. Don't you think about that? I've been into hospital rooms time after time, and individuals had paid for flowers. The people in the bed said, look what church sent me. Look, flowers church sent me. Pick up the cards from the Church of Christ. If it's wrong for church to do it out of the treasure, brother, it's wrong to send a name.